Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's the Legacy and Faith Show with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant, wrapping up his biblical look at the foundations of the estate planning life cycle this week.
That's right. We have come full circle.
Full circle on the cycle.
On the cycle, that's right. And if you had the ability, audience, to see the actual estate planning life cycle that we have.
A graphic here.
Yeah, then it actually is a circle. So we've come full circle. And where we started was exploration and education, getting wisdom and understanding about what estate planning is all about. We've encouraged you to then engage and create. We have to actually take a step of faith and get this thing done. We've talked about financial integration, which is step number three. All of our finances must be integrated into a plan. We've talked about the continuation commitment. God is all about relationship, and that's step number four. So our firm is designed to be in relationship with clients. It's not intended just to get you a document and be done with you. In step number five, we talk about family reception, preparing not just your documents, but preparing the next generation. And actually, we're going to be talking a lot more about that today because we're going to get into legacy fulfillment. And then last week, we talked about life's adjustments, that the Bible calls us to be prepared and not just be prepared with documents and be prepared as a family, but be prepared with our faith. And in other words, strengthen our faith when we have the opportunity. I have watched over and over Christians proclaim one thing, but then not be ready for it. So in other words, if we're having health struggles, are we in the Word finding God's promises? And at what point in time are we going to draw a line in the sand? I just watched something on the Alamo, so there's the draw the line in the sand right thing. So over the
That's
week.
Where that comes from.
It does. Yep, from the Battle of the Alamo. And so anyway, there's a little side note. And life adjustments. When are we going to draw a line in the sand and say, I am going to believe God's word over what the voice of this world is telling me under my current circumstances? So there is a portion of life adjustments that while we have the opportunity, get prepared practically, but more important, get prepared spiritually for what is going to be coming our way. And so that leads us into number seven, which is settlement systems, and number eight, legacy fulfillment. And Mark and I were talking before the show, and I said, well, I'm not going to do a whole lot.
Going to kind of skip past number seven.
That's right. We're not going to do a whole lot about it. I kind of made a little bit of a joke that says, well, when somebody dies, you got to close the estate. So there's number seven. There it is. That really plays into life adjustments. Actually, this whole number five, six, seven, and eight, family reception, life adjustment, settlement system, and legacy fulfillment, all of these are really about preparing the next generation, preparing those that we leave behind, or those who are going to be caring for us when life, when we face a bump in the road. So, is the family prepared? And what I have found is recently I have taken over a firm up in Bellingham and took it over from a phenomenal individual, did excellent work, high man of integrity, but he didn't have the educational system behind everything like I do. And now I have noticed that as I'm beginning to assist clients from that firm that had more of a document mentality, what I am seeing now is the disparity between someone who has no education on what to do if someone was to die, so that's the settlement system, versus in my system, we put a high value on educating the next generation. Every year, we have an educational class for the whole family that says, come out, let us feed you donuts, get you jacked up on caffeine because we'll get sugar and caffeine running through your veins. Then almost any meeting is good with that combination. And let's talk about what does it look like when someone passes away. So in other words, when we build an estate plan, because the documents are a roadmap, we need the practical education of this is actually what takes place. This is what each of the sections in the roadmap mean. And so we educate, place a high value on education in the settlement system. And so, again, what it comes down to is how prepared is your family versus how prepared is your document? Some of you don't even have documents, so that's a bummer. It's really, really hard to get your family prepared if your documents aren't even prepared. But documents are not going to save the day. Family education will, and having the right perspective throughout the family will also assist in whichever transition it is, whether it's life adjustments or whether it's a death adjustment. There needs to be an underlying value system of education to help the family through all these transitions. Now, we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 13. It's a common proverb that we will all probably know pretty quickly. It's verse number 22, which says, "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just," or for the righteous. So, you know, when I prepare these shows, I actually do a lot of other reading. I look through articles, and I want to find what other perspectives are talking about with the different scriptures that I bring. Number one, because I want to learn, and I want to be more, I want to be well-rounded in the voice that I bring to the radio. I don't want just to have one perspective and definitely don't want to just have my perspective, for in the multitude of counsel is wisdom. And so I want to branch out and really find out what other people are talking about. And then I want to come back and I want to really seek after the Lord to say, okay, Heavenly Father, is there something that I'm missing in this scripture? Now, I like word studies because I'm an attorney. So I love getting into actually looking at specific words, whether it's the Hebrew. I'm not quite as good in the Hebrew. I feel a little more confident in the Greek, in the New Testament. But I really like to get a Greek concordance and sit down and really tear apart the word itself, because the Greek gives you a great picture. It's a picture language. And so it helps me understand the different words, because English is limited, right? And my wife is from Romania, and what I learned is that in our marriage of 27 years, there are certain words that we need to work out. Now, she's very, very good at English, and I'm very, very bad at Romanian. So therefore,
you can speak Romanian?
Very, very poorly. Okay. And so a couple of words and a couple of phrases, much to her chagrin. But the whole point is that different languages don't have the same word. When I was in Indonesia over a Christmas break, and I was speaking to over 200 business leaders about biblical principles in guiding their businesses, there were times when I would say a long sentence and the translator would be done in a heartbeat. And then there's other times when I thought, oh, this is going to be really quick, and the translator went on and on. And it's just like, okay, what's happening? Well, there's disparity in language. All right. So why do I tell you all that? Well, just because it was on my mind, number one. But number two is because as I look at scripture, it really is a part of my personality to go into the depth of the word, because I want to understand what the writers were talking about, not just how the old English, depending on what version you use. I tend to use the King James, a New King James version, but there's translation misses here and there. And so in this Proverbs, so coming full circle again, Proverbs 13:22, in the articles I was reading, people always want to spin when we talk about inheritance and we use the word wealth as some type of spiritual attribute. And yet this is really clearly talking about monetary wealth, in my opinion. Of course, I don't think that it can be only limited to that. As a matter of fact, we're going to talk about that, to where I truly don't. But it's not absent of wealth either. So it can be accomplishing both attributes, which is that we are instructed both in a spiritual and worldly manner to leave an inheritance to our children's children. And how do we set things up like that? Well, we set it up by, number one, being committed followers of Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we need to be individuals who are properly dividing the word, because we need to be studying what God has given us so that we can properly hand it off to the next generation. I have two daughters. It is my greatest desire for them to first follow after Christ. And then it would be my second desire as a father to make sure that I provide for them well. And I mean in a wealth manner. So first, I am passionate that they know Jesus Christ. I'm passionate that they find their calling, that they use their giftings that God has given them and properly use them in a dying world to glorify Jesus Christ and to build his kingdom. That, above all else, is my passion for my girls. But simultaneously with that, what would it look like if I was able to also hand them monetary funds so that it would propel their ability and their influence in the marketplace and in a dying world? See, God can't produce money out of thin air. He needs us to be the vessels to perpetuate the ministry. Why do you give to your church? I hope it's not just because you feel guilty. That's the wrong motivation to give into ministries. Or that you think, oh, I'm supposed to in order to be an act of goodness. No, it should be because you are connected with a ministry that is doing phenomenal things for the gospel of Jesus Christ, and God has blessed you, and you are saying, this is where I choose to partner because other people can carry, and the more that funds that come into a ministry, the greater the ministry can influence this world for God's kingdom. I mean, this is kind of just kind of basic practical stuff, isn't it? So it is that money is a tool. I don't want to get caught up with money, but as it comes to me, I want to be the proper steward. I want to be able to give that to my children so that it becomes a blessing to them so that they can have an advantage of actually fulfilling their calling in this world. In my opinion, that is a right use of wealth. That is a right use of money. And so it doesn't matter what the bank account says, this scripture really is talking about how am I preparing the next generations? Am I influencing my children? Someday when I have grandkids, am I influencing them and speaking life and wisdom, godly wisdom, and helping them to get on their feet, both spiritually and financially, so that they can be concentrating and focusing on the things that matter. And the things that matter are, what are they called to? And how can I help set up them fulfilling their destiny in this world? Now that, I believe, is an inheritance for my children's children. Setting it up both spiritually and monetarily in both spectrums, not just one, not compromising one over the other either. And so So we're going to take another peek at a couple other scriptures when we get back from break. And so, but we're up against the time clock.
Well, and we also would like to know, find out more about your services and how do people find out?
Yeah, head over to our website. It's legacyandfaith.com. We have podcasts there. We're ending the estate planning life cycle, a biblical approach. So you can find both the practical approach that we did at the beginning of this year, and then we can also find the spiritual approach. In other words, taking the word of God and putting it and inserting it into each one of these steps. LegacyandFaith.com for past podcasts, educational opportunities, and ways to get a hold of us.
Okay, back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
And that's what we're doing this week, the biblical principles of estate planning and the life cycle of estate planning with Paul Grant, wrapping up this series this week. Paul?
Yes, we are. I think it's been a good series.
Good series.
It really excites me that I can use both of what I believe I'm called to, which is to be a teacher of the word. I'm not called to be a pastor per se, but I love to teach and yet do what my skill has been, which is talk about estate planning. And so I love it when I can mix both of these freely. I love being on this radio station and having an open voice to speak about the things of God and things that, and also speak about things that are practical. So this series has really been a joy for me to give because I get to use both of them simultaneously. So let's head back over to Scripture because I love Scripture. And in Psalms 112, it says, "Praise the Lord, blessed is the man that fears the Lord, that delights greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed." So we're talking about legacy fulfillment, the last step in the estate planning life cycle. That, in other words, we need to hand off a proper legacy. We need to hand off to the next generation. And what it takes is not just some documents that are prepared, even though that's a fantastic start, and it's a practical start that we need and must have. But really what my passion is about is to train up the next generation to receive this earthly wealth so that they can use it in a way and in a vision that you have set out before them so that they can be impactful in fulfilling their calling that God has bestowed upon them so that they can have an influence for the kingdom of God. In my opinion, that's really true legacy. And let's not get confused because there's individuals out there that don't have strong family ties. Maybe you don't have children. You know, legacy fulfillment can be given in what you have to the right people. So even though I talk about my kids, it doesn't have to be to your children. It's about setting out a course of action to say, this is the passion and the heart that God has given me. This is the mantle that he wants me to carry on through what I leave behind. And so how prepared is your plan to pass to the right people, to the right ministries, so that the vision that God has put in your heart and what he has given you, whether the account number is a lot or whether it's a little, is irrelevant to it being used wisely for the purposes of the kingdom. And that's legacy fulfillment. So even though I use my children or my own life and having children as the example, let's not get overly caught up about, well, my kids aren't following the Lord, so what should I do? Well, I can't answer that for you perfectly because you need to seek after the heart of the Father and direct things according to what he has told you. He will give you the steps that you need to take. He will put in the desires of your heart, and then he'll order the footsteps therein. Now, Psalm 112 goes on to say, what does it mean for the next generation to be blessed? And it says, wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness shall endure forever. So a good man shows favor and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. So there's wisdom. There's wealth and riches in his house, and it will endure forever. So it's not about gaining things in this worldly system. It's about gaining things that will have a kingdom impact. See, the rich, the foolish rich man in Luke built his barns and he said, I'm going to now stop and take it easy, put my feet up and rest, and I'm going to enjoy it. And the Lord said, you fool, your life is required of you today. Now who is going to use what you built up? That always shocks me at the end of that statement. It's not, the Lord didn't say, now who is going to use what I gave you? It's now who is going to use what you built up? And there is the disparity between legacy and just passing wealth. Legacy is having a godly vision and gaining wealth through a godly means for a godly purpose versus we can work our entire days gaining wealth, storing it up, trying to take care of ourselves, never really pulling in and leaning into the one that we are supposed to be connected to. We're supposed to be connected to the vine and be able then to receive his fullness in our life for a long-term vision of the kingdom. And that's real legacy fulfillment. And there's Old Testament things. I'm going to probably skip them here because we're going to run out of time like usual because I tend to talk a lot. And so I rarely stay on top of my notes here. But in Genesis, there's several examples of patriarchs laying hands on their children and passing the blessing of what was given to them. I'm going to go Genesis 26, though, really quickly, is that God spoke to the next generation. He spoke to Isaac. I believe it's Isaac, if I have all my biblical characters in order. He says, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge and my commandments and my statutes and my law, I will make your seed. So what I swore unto Abraham, I will also swear unto you. I will make your seed to multiply as the stars of the heaven and will give you seed of all the countries. And in your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. So God is about passing legacy. He made a promise to Abraham, and then he reaffirmed his promise to the next generation to say, I am going to let you take over the vision and the promise that I gave to your father. God is about legacy. And we know that later in Genesis 48, Israel placed his hands on Ephraim and Manasseh. And of course, in that one, he reversed his hands to demonstrate that the blessing was not going to be upon the first child, in other words, representing the Old Testament, but the second child representing the New Covenant. Mm. He reversed his hands. But the point is still there. He passed legacy and spoke blessing over the next generation that they would walk in the ways of God. And so my encouragement to you today is, what are the things that we are preparing? Last week, we talked a lot about being prepared, and I ended the discussion about preparing your faith. And so as you prepare your faith to face life adjustments, this is also something that we want to prepare the next generation for. Give them a true biblical understanding of what is faith. How are they to carry on the vision and the purposes that God has set out in your heart? Lay a foundation of your wealth that as it is transferred, again, don't get caught up in the dollar value. It's about when it is moved to the next generation. Do we want it to just be used on things to bring pleasure, to buy a boat and to buy a truck with big wheels, and to take vacations? All of those things might actually be good. But is there something greater that we can accomplish? Is there a different vision that we can give our family? Can we pass off a legacy of spiritual foundation that will be used with wisdom and understanding and passion that will affect the kingdom of God for forever and ever? And that's really what Psalm 112 was talking about, that what you do will last forever. As we talk about estate planning, as we talk about being prepared, and as we talk about preparing the next generation, what in our life are we doing that will last forever? And sometimes we get faced with that question, and maybe you look back on your life and go, man, have I missed opportunities? Have I failed even? And I think there may be some of you who would look at that answer and go, I don't like the answer that I have set up for myself as far as legacy. And my voice of encouragement is, you have a breath today to make a difference. And I don't care if you are 18 or if you're 80. You have breath today, and you can begin to make an adjustment for legacy purposes and fix. Don't focus on yesterday. Get a vision for where God wants to move you and your family, and begin to take that vision and begin to speak it over your family, speak it over those around you, and begin to prepare a plan. The estate planning life cycle is where we're all at. Whether it's at the beginning or whether it's at the end, you have breath in you today. Get prepared, do it in faith, and let's pass a legacy that will last forever.
Wrapping up the biblical foundations of estate planning and the life cycle of the estate plan this week with Paul Grant, estate and tax planning attorney. And of course, all of these are at podcasting on his website and other ways to get in touch with Paul there and get other resources. What is that website again, Paul?
At legacyandfaith.com. Head over there. Legacyandfaith.com.
Legacyandfaith.com. Another Legacy and Faith show with Paul Grant on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.